T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Girl, you know it's true. You know that song. You know what day it is. That means it's time to talk to our boy, Mr. Pete Haley from NBC Sports Washington, the Washington Football Talk podcast. Pedro, what up, man? How you doing, buddy?
Hi, JP. It was weird hearing you call me a boy, but I also don't like when people call me like a man. It makes me feel old. So maybe next time we can go with guy.
Did I call you a boy? Be happy they call you.
Yeah, that's true. That's definitely every Tuesday.
Why don't you want to feel like a man? You're not a man?
I am a man, of course, but I mean, it makes me feel like I should have hip pain and like be looking at a mortgage payment. But yeah, you're right, Beamich. I'm just happy you guys call, because every Tuesday when it becomes radio time, I'm like, you know what? Maybe this is the week they give up on me, but at least I have one more week here with you all.
I mean, what else did you have going on today?
Nothing.
We did the podcast this morning. Right. I went to the grocery store to get some bread and milk and some other essentials. And then after this, I'm going to go do a little work at a coffee shop. So I've been somewhat busy today, and I wish it wasn't so windy, or else I'd go to the driving range too.
Busy day.
You
busy
better be
day.
Going to the driving range. I'm looking for you.
let's start with kind of I want to get into the specific positions that the Commanders have signed. But let's start with kind of the biggest news of the day, I would say, is the Taylor Heinicke signing. Heinicke's leaving D.C. What do you make of it? What do you think the Commanders do next? And how are you going to remember old T.H.?
Yeah, I'll start with the end part last. I'll remember Taylor as one of my favorite players personally to cover, both because of who he was sort of in the locker room and podium and just when you were talking to him, but also because of how he played. He was certainly not a perfect quarterback, and I hope the Commanders have better quarterbacks than him in the future, but just so relatable. Who doesn't love that ultimate underdog story? And it felt like every time he played, guys with Carson Wentz's talent, it feels like they aren't getting the most out of their talent. Taylor, on the other hand, it felt like he was getting every iota out of his ability. And it just was really, really cool to watch him. And I hope he has a ton of success in Atlanta and buys many more pairs of shoes. When it comes to replacing him, I think any of the backups that have been named by you guys and plenty of others make total sense. And it just comes down to who Bieniemy trusts most to run his scheme. And hopefully he's this quarterback backup QBX is a little bit cheaper than Taylor, but the real numbers don't look all that bad for Heinicke. So just find some guy like him, a trusted veteran that Sam Howell can work with. Now, it is going to be a lot of change for Howell. It's a new OC and a totally new quarterback room. I think he can handle it, but that's something worth noting. It definitely was, I wasn't surprised, but I also was just a little bit sad because Heinicke became such a beloved figure here for a couple of years. I know a lot of people were a bit tired of him and wanted to see him leave, but I think when the distance between today and further happens, people will realize, hey, that was a cool, unique little era of Washington football history.
Mm. What's your favorite Heinicke memory?
Yeah, I think there's plenty for a guy who only finished barely above 500. The pylon dive is certainly the one that would lead his Washington highlight tape, but I liked the final drives in Indianapolis this past year. He had a couple fourth down conversions to Curtis Samuel, and then the backing up, he's still backing up, heave it down to Terry, and it just embodied everything about Heinicke. Like, how did he do that? This offense looked dead for 52 out of the 60 minutes of the game. He had nothing going, and then all of a sudden he just snaps to it with some hurry-up offense and the need to be clutch, and he delivered. So I liked that Indianapolis game. It was his second win in a row after taking over for Wentz, and it felt like, oh, we might be heading towards a true storybook ending this season. We, of course, didn't get it, but it was really fun in the moment.
See, it's funny. I was super dismissive of that game. I would say, like, if you wanted something from this year, I thought the fourth down throw in New York, and granted they only got the tie, but to get that thing going at the end, the fourth down throw, I think it was to Curtis.
Oh, I know you're talking about
that. That was a really good throw and creating time and everything. But alas, the Heinicke era will be remembered for fun, but as B said, we are remembering mediocrity, and it kind of says something about where we are as like a media base, fan base, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We are lionizing him to a certain extent, and I'm sure a lot of fans are over this already and are glad it's done. But I think maybe just because we were able to see Taylor every day and watch him interact with the guys and with us, not that, you know, makes him some extra amazing player who can't be criticized. He certainly can, but I just found him to be really relatable and like, honestly, just super friendly. And that makes me like you more. Sorry, if you're nice to me, I'm going to like you more. And Taylor was incredibly polite and kind.
So as you see them do their making their moves in free agency, you feel that those have been – no, give me a grade where you think they are right now.
I don't think the grade can be super glowing because they haven't made any major deals in terms of guys who are like, okay, this guy could be a potential Pro Bowler. He can really help this team win. But I'd give it a nice solid B, a very hearty B that you take home, and your parents are like, oh, maybe next time you can do a little better. But we're very proud and we're very okay with this B because they addressed all three needs like that they had right away. And the draft is where you maybe go best player available, but in free agency, this is the time where you can pick and choose guys based on the needs you have. And for them to find a starting lineman in Wiley, and then a potential starting lineman in Nick Gates, and then a probable starter in Cody Barton, or at least a second linebacker, depending on how they roll out their packages. I think that all makes a lot of sense, and none of them were that expensive. So for a team that I thought was going to be pretty quiet, maybe they're front-loading all their moves, and this will represent the peak, but Ron Rivera's typically waited a couple days. There was the 1 year of Fitzpatrick and Jackson, of course, where they went a little bit crazy. But Rivera, this time, he made some moves that didn't take over the bottom line of your network shows, but he was at least active. And I think the Commanders are better than they were a couple days ago. So I think that should all be praised, just measurably praised is how I would put it.
So I've gone back and forth on this. Where are they better? I think keeping Payne keeps them as good defensively. Tell me where they're better.
I think, and Brian...
And I'm not saying you're always wrong. Like, I'm trying to really think through this.
Yeah. Brian has always instilled, you coach 53, not 22. And I don't know if the 22 is better, you're talking about the starters, but I think the 53 overall is, because Nick Gates, yes, he's a Wes Schweitzer replacement, but I think he's a little bit better at center, a little more comfortable there, and that is a spot that this team has needed some help. So your O-line is a little more fortified at a position of weakness. Cody Barton and Cole Holcomb, you put them side by side, maybe there isn't a huge disparity, but I think Barton has more speed and more strength. He was 95th percentile in the bench press, and then he was in the 60th and 80th percentile ranges when it came to 40-yard dash and three cone drills at the combine a few years ago. So I think he has some upside there in terms of just his gifts and playing behind this D-line. And if some of the starters go down, say Chase Rullier comes back and he goes down, I feel better about Nick Gates stepping in if he's not already starting. And if Jamin Davis wants to have a little bit of help at linebacker, I think Barton can at least supply that. So you have to squint a little bit, JP. It's not obvious, but I do think they are better depth-wise. And for a team that has had injury issues and a head coach that moans losing top-line players, having that depth be better is definitely key.
What are your thoughts on the cornerback that they got, Pete?
Oh, you speak my language. I am very into this very low-cost, high-reward pickup. I mean, who doesn't appreciate a good reclamation project? I think Cameron Dantzler looks the part of a corner. He's got these long, lanky arms. He's skinny. Now, I think he's a little bit slow, and some people with the Vikings after his promising rookie year, thought he tried to put on a little too much weight, and that might have slowed him down. But like taking last year's team, picked up Rashad Wild Goose and Tarik Castro-Fields. I bet you didn't expect to hear those names in this hit today, but those are corners they picked up off the trash heap that aren't really proven. I think Dantzler has at least proven to have really good moments. Now, there's definitely really bad moments surrounding those good moments, so it's about getting the consistency. But if you're taking someone off waivers, I'd rather it be a guy who has at least hinted at a potential, and maybe he just needs a different coach or a different position room to bring that out of him. And I would imagine that Dantzler, if he's taking this seriously, realizes, all right, I'm not a third rounder anymore. I'm a guy who needs to prove himself all over in the league and go to this new organization and come out with my best foot forward. So I think it makes a ton of sense. Rivera has somewhat of a reputation of being a cornerback whisperer. That certainly took a hit once they brought in William Jackson and torpedoed his career. But for what they're going to be paying Dantzler and the need they have and the at least kind of makeup he possesses, give me that. I'm going to be watching him in OTAs and training camp, and I hope he can stick around and prove that he's better than what he showed with the Vikings. Mm-hmm.
So I got this text from Ahmed, and I find it pretty interesting when you frame it this way. Now, I also think it's important to point out free agency hasn't even opened yet, right? Like, it doesn't even open till tomorrow afternoon. But this is our buddy Ahmed saying, based on all the signings right now, they're still the fourth team in the NFC East. Have they moved up in the division, barring injuries? And he says, are people just happy with the mediocrity? Can you say...
Ahmed, taking my words.
Have they gotten better than the Giants, the Eagles, or the Cowboys?
No, they haven't. But, like, the Commanders were never going to have that vault through free agency. For them, it's going to be via the draft. And for them, it's going to be via Sam Howell proving that he's better than last year's draft position and what the national media thinks. Like, free agency, they weren't going to be able to really, unless they just somehow pooled all their money together, took the Daron Payne, lowered cap, and got Orlando Brown. Like, the signings the Commanders were going to make now weren't going to make me change the way I view them in the NFC. If this is a race and the whole offseason is a race, including the regular season too, like, they're not going to jump out to the fastest start. I think where they make up ground is when Sam Howell hopefully becomes something, where Eric Bieniemy gets his hands on this offense and becomes something. I think maybe you can include Bieniemy when you're talking about comparing these teams, team is really going to need to nail the draft.
The Bieniemy thing is like the lone celebratory point so far.
Well, I think that and Daron Payne.
Getting the Payne deal, that's fair.
Yeah, but you mentioned when they brought in Bieniemy, JP, you said this might be the biggest splash, and I think Payne counts as another big splash, but we didn't expect them to rack up celebratory points because of ownership and because of it's a tighter budget and just because of uncertainty. But if they get through this and if they sell, then that's going to be a massive thing, and maybe that helps change fans' perception, but it's going to really matter when we see what this rookie class is and when we see what Howell is. And until we see those things, I don't think we can realistically hope for the Commanders to overtake any of the teams ahead of them, because those teams are better to begin with, and they are going to probably be more aggressive in free agency.
What would it take for them to start to get overtake or get closer?
The quarterback, the short guy with the messy hair who played at North Carolina a couple years ago, him completely taking advantage of this enormous opportunity, and I don't think that can be stressed enough. We're looking around at Bieniemy, and Rivera has his coaching life on the line, and they're putting it in the hands of Sam Howell. That's either A, because they really believe in him, B, because they have nowhere else, or C, a combination. I hope it's as much of A as it is B or C, and that they actually think this guy can be something, as opposed to he's the only guy we got, so let's just close our eyes and hope this works out. But that's certainly the biggest one, Brian. But beyond that, I think the defense can be a little bit more of a turnover prone defense. When they were on their winning streak last year, they're creating turnovers and creating short fields, but how can they get better? Nothing they do this offseason, I don't think, can fully convince you or I or a lot of the skeptics. It's going to have to take place on the field, which is such a boring answer, but it's probably true, because this team has never really given us a reason to give them the benefit of the doubt in the past 20 years. So we're going to have to wait to see it on the field, honestly.
Let's zoom out from the Commanders, because you can argue if it's been really good or not, but it's certainly not the most compelling thing going on across the league. The Lamar or the Rodgers, you can pick whichever one you think. Where do those two dudes end up?
I think Rodgers, because he's taking so long, it's going to go to somewhere we aren't expecting. I know the Jets are positioning themselves with trying to get Lazard, and they have Hackett there, but why hasn't that already gone down? I think he's thinking of something just crazy to do, and he seems very unpredictable and strange, so I'm going to expect him to do the unpredictable strange thing. For Lamar,
strange.
Yeah, and it takes a strange guy to know a strange guy, and I'm kind of strange sometimes, I think. But I believe Lamar will stick with the Ravens. It's so stupid that there isn't a line of teams out the door trying to knock down Baltimore's door to get Lamar into their uniform. But because of the contract demands, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen. So I think he'll stay with Baltimore. And instead of sitting out, that he will end up playing for them. And then maybe we'll do this charade all over again next year.
The Lamar stuff is bizarre. I don't know kind of what ends up happening next. I just wonder, as the, I don't want to say feud, but as like this disagreement kind of continues to advance here, I don't know if you've seen, you may have been getting ready for the radio when Lamar had his last couple tweets. I just wonder, at what point does that get unfixable? Or if it's just adults and you can disagree and then you take a deep breath and you move forward. Like, the Ravens do seem like that kind of organization, but I don't know, man. It gets harder and harder to kind of walk back some of the stuff that goes out there.
You don't have to walk it back.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole thing. And then, you believe it and you said it, but the whole thing about it is it shouldn't be something that affects you moving forward in your game or whatever else. He's questioning him. He basically says Schefter's a liar, and he's basically saying the team is lying by putting that out there. You know where it came from.
He's definitely saying that.
Yeah.
That might be hard to come back from.
Why? I mean,
they got the Lamar stuff.
They had the right to put it out there. He has a right to say it's not true.
Oh, of course. Of course. I'm not at all saying he shouldn't agree. Like, he should just go with the flow here. But it gets hard to put these genies back in bottles sometimes.
I mean, just say, yeah, say, there are those out there that don't try to put the genie back in the bottle.
I know one of them. I know one of them well.
You need to understand.
Hey, Pete, what are you doing Saturday?
Saturday? My girlfriend has a friend in town, so I have a room lined up at the Gaylord in National Harbor. But during the day, I don't think I have anything planned. Are you going to invite me to something fun?
Yep. Come meet me at Over Under to watch the second round.
Don't go with JP.
You
won't make it
tournament.
Back for your girlfriend. You're gonna be...
I mean, he's going to one casino
he's
or another.
He's going to be twisted.
Yeah, I like that, JP. Count me in, and maybe I can score one of those cool sweatshirts, and we can hit some parlays and just really enjoy each other's company.
I'm in. I don't understand. When your girlfriend has people come to town, you always just leave the apartment. Is there something weird there?
We're looking for more real estate. Right now, our 750-square-foot, one-bedroom apartment, I could sleep on the couch, but then it feels kind of like I'm intruding on their space, and it's a friend from out of town.
If I may, it's your space. Like, you're not intruding on their space.
Hey,
the guest should sleep on your couch.
Tell him control his house over there where you live, and tell him leave you the hell alone. You're doing what you do to keep your stuff happy.
JP, you have that dumb system that sometimes works, sometimes doesn't. This is my system. It works. I don't poo-poo your system. You don't poo-poo my system.
You just poo-pooed my system. You called it dumb.
Yeah, because you're poo-pooing my system, so I'm going to poo-poo yours right back.
All right. Enough poop. We've already had Chris Russell on the radio for 20 minutes. I guess I'll see you Saturday at Over Under.
All right. Looking forward to it. Thank you for the time, as always, and have a great rest of the show and a great rest of the week and a great everything else.
Thanks, buddy.
A lot of greats.
Here's what I got to tell you about. Speaking of great, the Cloakroom, nominated multiple times for best overall gentleman's club in the country, and it just got even better. Located at 5th and K Northwest, Cloakroom is the first gentleman's club in the U.S. to have a sports book. You can place wagers at traditional betting windows or kiosks while you're enjoying the entertainment. And if you're not into that, you can come join me and Pete, and maybe we'll drag B-Mitch in there too. Take an elevator to the fourth floor, climate-controlled sports book and lounge called Over Under. state-of-the-art retractable roof, a billion TVs. They've got this wall of televisions where I'm hoping we can have all of the different games on at once. I'm pretty excited about that. They got Pappy Van Winkle. They got transfusions. They got beers. They got it all. Drink specials every weekend. Check them out. CloakroomDC.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.